Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful that you can join us for another week.
We sure are.
And we have a special guest, Katie Hendricks. Katie is an evolutionary catalyst, contextual disruptor, and freelance mentor who has been a pioneer in the field of body intelligence and conscious loving for 50 years. She describes her purpose, I feel through to the heart with laser love and evoke essence through deep play. Dr. Hendricks is the co-author of 12 books, including the best-selling Conscious Loving at the Speed of Life and Conscious Loving Ever After, How to Create Thriving Relationships at Midlife and Beyond. She specializes in translating concepts such as commitment into directly felt experiences that lead to new choices and creative engagement. Her unique coaching and leadership programs have generated hundreds of body intelligence and relationship coaches in the US and Europe. She's currently joining with her Foundation for Conscious Living community to create the Big Leap online programs. These online videos are designed to support people in coming home to presence, restoring resourcefulness, and creating caring communities. And today we're going to talk with Katie about the impact of fear on our humanity and how to shift it. So welcome, Katie. We're really happy that you can join us today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Yes.
Us too.
Yes, we are. So do you want to lead off on what some of your thoughts are on this subject?
Sure. I started noticing, several years ago, probably at least 8 years ago, that I was seeing fear pop up in social media and in the news more and more, and that whenever people would have any kind of a kerfuffle or, you know, there'd be a conflict, what I saw was at the base of that was the experience of fear. And that people treated fear as an enemy and also as something, but at the same time as something they didn't need to pay any attention to. So, you know, like the only thing you need to fear is fear itself, as if you could just, you know, push it aside. And it's very clear to me that fear is wired in to our beings and has been for probably, you know, as long as humans have been around, because we're wired up to respond to a perceived threat with fear, because fear then activates, you know, we leave all of our social skills and we go into our reptilian brain. And so my sense is that the solution to fear is befriending fear, because I think the actual experience of fear is like having an electrical pole, like you're an electrical pole and your wires, the electricity. And if those wires are not attached to you, if they're just sputtering free, like we had one of our transformers go down several years ago, and I actually saw those wires sputtering on the road with all that electricity just kind of going all over. But if you befriend fear and you let yourself liberate the energy that's been caught up in the four expressions of fear, that you actually have access to more of your creativity, your ability to problem solve, which goes offline when you're scared. There are two really important things that happen. One is that you leave your prefrontal cortex and you go Godzilla, you know, on into your the brain that's just going to smash everything to get your way. And the other thing is that without your knowing it, other people become the enemy. So if I'm in fear, you look different. And if you look at all of the conflicts that are going on, whether it's personal or community or more global, what I see is at the root of that is fear. And if you look at any newspaper article, when there is something going on, you'll see fear woven in there, but everybody just assumes there's nothing we can do about it. And so I've spent several years now developing a whole program. But what it starts with is something that I call fear melters, which are simple movements that allow you to move from fight and flee and freeze and faint into your full ability to engage, to participate, to do something different. So rather than repeating the same old, that we've been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years, we have the opportunity, if we befriend our fear, we can liberate the energy that's underneath them. And I can say more about that when we get further in the conversation. But my sense is that people don't realize that they cannot talk anybody else out of fear. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Like, oh, honey, there's nothing to be scared of. You know, stop being scared. And we can't do that. You cannot talk yourself out of being scared, but you can move yourself from fear to presence. And when you learn how to do that, a whole new world opens up. And that's one of the things that I'm very interested in. And we have a whole bunch of videos on our Foundation for Conscious Living website that will assist people in learning how to do that. And all of that material is free. We've been developing it over the last 8 years. And so it can support people if they go, oh, what else could I do? And we can say, well, there's a whole bunch that you can do that will allow you to move out of these old cycles of what we call the villain, the victim, and the hero, where we just keep going around with, you know, oh, poor me, poor you, screw you. And then it just keeps going and going. And that's run by fear. So when we really learn that fear can be encountered, fear can be befriended, we can't stomp it out, but we can befriend it. And then all of this new energy gets liberated.
I think that's a great thing, because I think right now with everything that's going on, like you touched on, community and global wise, and a lot of the time through the media and things like that, it is fear-based. And then that's
totally fear-based.
Yeah. It puts that into everybody's lives. And then I like that you've brought some tools that you can deal with that, because that's, I think, what a lot of people are struggling with, is this fear of the unknown, right? And at this point, everything seems to be unknown.
I don't think we've ever been at a more discombobulated and chaotic. I mean, even, you know, the polarization is a whole other thing, but having lost a lot of the structures, particularly here in the US where we live, a lot of our structures have just crumbled. And so how are people going to get along? rather than us versus them, and we're going to smash you. And I don't think people realize that what the fear does is activate our adrenaline responses. And our adrenaline responses are what I call a fast-acting but short-lasting drug. Adrenaline is a non-renewable drug, and it activates your ha 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 kind of, and you think that you're getting energy, but what you're really doing is getting your addiction amplified. Because when the adrenaline wears off, like if you get really mad at somebody, you know, because you know you made it, and then it drops off, and then what often happens is people get, they feel depressed or they lack of energy, so they get more adrenaline. Like if you notice, the movies have more things blowing up, their whole world blowing up, there's, you know, everything is a total emergency. That's adrenaline. And adrenaline wears people out. So it's part of why I think we see so much more dis-ease, illness, people not being able to function, loneliness, because all of those things come from the separation that fear and adrenaline create. So, you know, just like people might get, you know, addicted to chocolate, or, you know, they get that, you eat the chocolate and you have that burst and then you feel depressed. It's really the same thing at an emotional and an energetic level. And when people get a sense of, when I'm present and I'm connecting with others and I'm able to collaborate, I get a whole different kind of fuel, the fuel of connection. Because we know now that the antidote to addiction is not more drugs, it's connection. And fear keeps us from really receiving that nutrient of connection. And when people are able to just even open up for a few minutes to receive another person instead of being afraid of them, they get to open up to a whole new level of, oh, this is possible. Oh, it's possible to co-create with people, even people I don't know, or I may not really agree with everything. We can find our human commonality that allows us to support each other as humans on the planet. And so I'm encouraged by what we've seen so far with people experimenting and using what I call fear melters, which are these simple movements. But at the base of that is shifting from our go, 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 fast, 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 more, 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 consume, consume, you know, as a way of trying to feed ourselves. But what we're really missing is the real food, which is deep presence and connection.
Very true. Very true. I know when I'm fearful or something's not going in the right direction, I'll often stand there and then turn in a circle. You know,
you're moving and you're shifting, you know. Yeah. So literally when people are in fight, you know, if you just think of making boxer move, when you're in fight, you're not using, you get bigger, you get more elevated, but you're not actually connecting with your feelings. That is a reflex that we're like gorillas. We do the same thing. We do the, you know, get away from me. And but when people are in that all the time, it exhausts them, you know, both their nervous system, but also our ability to do anything different. And so for fight, what we have people do is ooze, which is kind of like you're turning around in a circle. You let yourself ooze because a lot of the fight comes up across your shoulders. And so if you're oozing, you can't fight. And when you have even just a moment of getting freedom from fight, underneath fight is our ability to really forge new paths, to move into life. But fear, when we're in that fight experience, the only thing we can do is kind of push back against other people. So each of the moves allows us to liberate more of our authentic energy.
And that makes sense to me, because I find, like, just to have talked to different people and stuff, like dance is another thing, like, right? Just that movement creates and lets go of that energy. And
absolutely.
So it makes me think, when you were saying that, you know, we hold our fear too, and which is why we get these body aches and pains that we have that creates the disease. And so I think through this movement, you just generate this creativity and that allowness of letting go.
Well, and you liberate your body wisdom, because we have thousands of years of inheritance of being able to respond to our environment, being able to respond to the unknown. And we're here because our ancestors did that successfully. They responded to all disruption, unknown, and were able to navigate their way through. And so as we really consider, fear is a response to a threat, and it's a way of protecting ourselves, but it also makes us reactive. We're not able to be creative and to engage proactively. We're just simply reacting with old patterns. And so basically the fear melters are letting yourself move rather than going in stereotypical patterns. So you move either with oozing, or when you're in flee, like I'm out of, you know, I got to get out of here. The move is rooting, where you imagine the roots coming out of your feet and out of your hands and growing down into the earth, and that you're receiving the nutrient of presence from the earth. And when you make that move of rooting, what that opens up is your readiness, your ability to respond to the unknown, rather than I'm just out of here. I'm either going to punch you or I'm out of here. There is this ability to actually create in the moment, in the unknown. And then the third one, freeze, which most of us are very familiar with. Just think of a loud noise where you have that startle. But imagine living in that all the time. It is a mammalian response that we all have. One of the functions is to make you invisible. So when you freeze and you're not moving, the predator can't see you. But when we're frozen, we also can't do anything about what's going on. And so for that, and this is probably the easiest one for everybody, is that you can let your fingers and toes start wiggling. Because usually when people are frozen, people say, oh, just relax. There's nothing to be scared of. And you can't do that when you're in fear. But I have found even if I'm frozen, I can wiggle my fingers and toes. And then I can let that wiggling start moving up my body until I've wiggled myself. And then, oh, here I am and I can engage. I also have a short form of this that you can try out if you want to. I call it face flapping because we carry so much freezing in our faces, you know, because we don't, you know, when we're meeting other people, you know, we get nervous and we freeze up. But if you lean your head forward and you go, it's so refreshing and it eases the tension. And so my face then can express what I'm actually experiencing rather than the mask of fear. And so wiggling is kind of my go-to one because it's very simple to get that one going. And I can also wiggle my hands and feet when I'm in a meeting. And so I can kind of do my little invisible wiggling, like I'm doing that like mad under my in my chair. And then that gives me vitality to be able to engage. But I think the biggest one that people are unaware of is what I call faint. And it's what mammals do when they've reached the end of their resourcefulness and they've given up. And so animals that are on the verge of predators got them and they're on the verge of death, they go faint. They just give up. And I think that thousands, if not millions of people in the world are in faint, where they just don't feel any energy. They feel overwhelmed. There's this, I'm so tired. And also can't think. So that there's, when people get confused and they say, oh, I just can't figure this out, that's faint. And what I teach people to do is what I call love scoops, that you reach out and you bring in love and presence for yourself. And you actually are bringing it in. You can shower yourself with it. You can hug yourself with it. But what you're doing is actually breaking through that trance of the faint. Because when you're in faint, you just kind of feel like you have no power at all. But the first moment that you reach out, oh, you're declaring, I'm here in the world. I want to participate. I want to help make choices. And then you can begin it. Just making that next choice will unlock the vapor lock so that you can begin then co-creating something different rather than the same old. I mean, aren't you just tired of the same old? You hear, you know, like philosophy, you know, thoughts and prayers, like, you know, that, no, that I think comes out of faint. You know, it's like, there's nothing we can really do. So thoughts and prayers. So what I would like to do is have people have thoughts in their bodies and prayers in their bodies. So, because that's where all of your wisdom can give you new ideas for your brain to work with rather than the same old fear-based ones.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say something. So I like the love scoop one because it's like you're taking that energy that's out there and surrounding us and bringing it into yourself,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And just releasing through that, because I agree. It feels like a lot of people are walking around in that almost kind of zombie-esque.
That was the word that was coming to me too. I was wondering a few years ago, why do we have so many zombie movies now? And now, I mean, I think because so many people experience that's the quality of the atmosphere around them. And I want people to know that, you know, just really one choice at a time, that you can shift, not only shift into presence, but these moves and others, like opening up your breathing and opening up your perspective about how you're using your attention, all of those things fill your reservoir with presence rather than with fear. And then you have more fuel for connecting with others and co-creating something different. And I'm seeing that happening among, you know, the people with whom we've shared our work, but also people are taking it into business relationships and into counseling of all kinds, but also into communities. So like, for example, our city council, when we have our city meetings to help to shift the atmosphere of that so many people are in now, when people just even get a little bit of movement going, and when you add to it appreciation, that move really allows your beacon, your tentacles of connection to reach other people.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I find like now a lot of times people, instead of are showing up present, they're showing up with that guard on them first, like you said, like, right? It's like they're up in arms before there's any even conversation about anything.
Right. That's the fear response leading.
Exactly.
And so if fear is out there in front, you know, it's really like, who was it? Godzilla and King Kong, that movie between the two of them. It's like we do that, you know, we assume that the other person is wrong, is not like us, and therefore less than. So I think that fear has its tentacles in everything that we consider to be a problem. And one of the questions that I ask people is, how is this issue actually about fear? And when people start looking at, rather than you're wrong, you know, either I'm going to win or you're going to win, somebody has to lose. When we look at, how is this actually about fear? And people can identify when they are scared, you can shift that actually pretty easily and begin to drain the fear swamp. There was a cartoon character from many years ago. It was called Swamp Thing, and Swamp Thing fed on people's fear. And when people were fearful, Swamp Thing got bigger and more scary. I think it's a great analogy for how we can either feed fear or we can feed presence.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because I find that, like, just in the people that we've been talking to too, that comes up a lot in conversation about being present and really just enjoying and being grateful for the things that we're surrounded by. And I think the more we can do that and live more consciously, that we are abating that fear and getting rid of it and doing it down. And I love that you do it through movement and things like that and the grounding in, because I feel like we're moving the energy. And I think people are just, they're longing for something that will make them feel safe and whole in this world as we try to navigate through it.
Yes. As I connect with different people around the world, I don't think people have ever felt more unsafe.
I know.
And for connection to actually happen, we need to be able to generate safety. Yeah. I was feeding, we have two lovely British Shorthair cats. The British Shorthair was the model for Alice in Wonderland cat, because the Cheshire cat, because they have a little, and they have Jowly, and they're just the most beautiful girls. And I was starting to feed one of them the other day, and she had her head down because she was eating, and I was bringing her in some more food. And I realized, you know, as I was coming toward her, I realized that she had her head down. So she was going to be in some fear of me because she was not safe. You know, when all animals are eating, they're more vulnerable. And so there is this kind of guardedness. And so as I was coming toward her, I realized I was using soothing tones with her that I only do with them when I want to make sure that they feel safe. So as I was coming toward her, I said, good girl, good girl. I'm just bringing you some more food, with that same tone of, I'm not here to attack you. And my sense is that as each of us, it's not that we're getting rid of fear, we're actually liberating the energy that fear has a cap on. And so for underneath fight is our ability to forge. And like you've seen, I mean, the genuine warriors forge new paths, open new, and we need a tremendous amount of energy to do that. But it's not an against energy, it's an opening energy, that tremendous energy that we've just gone na 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 with. And then under flee, when you move into that rooted place, what opens there is a kind of, I think of it like being a tennis player, a really accomplished tennis player. You know, they're always ready because you never know where the ball is coming from. So in their bodies, they're ready to go any different direction. And I think that's the energy that gets liberated when we make friends with flee. And when we make friends with freeze, what's under freeze is our ability to actually orient and locate, like, oh, here I am in this moment. I'm not back in my childhood where people yelled at me. I'm here right now, oh, where I can make different choices. And that just that moment of being able to pause and orient keeps you from crashing off the cliff in the wrong direction. And then for faint, I think what gets liberated is my ability, each of our ability to engage, like my presence makes a difference. I can assist in co-creating. I can use my energy to generate something different. So number one, we're never going to get rid of fear. It's wired in, but we can get, it's like cleaning the pipes, you know, but also hooking us up at deeper levels where we can become more resourceful. And I think as people practice, you know, we have several videos to help people learn how to do this and learn how to integrate it. I like to do fear melters plus something. And the thing I found, there are two things I found to be most useful: fear melters plus breathing. So taking relaxed, easy breaths, then you get to experience life for a few minutes, literally free of fear. And your body and your brain get to go, oh, I like this. Oh, I think I might like a little more of this. And when you're moving in that direction, you then get to build. And the other one, so breathing, and the other one is appreciation. So if I'm doing fear melters and then I appreciate anything, you know, like I'm appreciating that it's cooler today than it has been because we've been in a little bit of a heat wave. So I'm appreciating how I feel when I open the door and I can smell the breeze and it's cooler. So, or, you know, I appreciate you for your interest in having people collaborate with each other in new ways. So when you genuinely appreciate, you're creating new wiring, and new wiring that's really based on presencing, connecting, and creating together.
I'm always waiting because I always cut her off. Yeah, and I think that's so true because even things like here today, it's snowing. So not one of our favorite things when we get that first snowfall, but really if you could look out at it and just appreciate even some of that. And yes. I think that's similar, like you're rewiring your brain to think, yes, even though I am not really in favor of the snow on the ground for all the terrible reasons, but it's beautiful and it's individual and it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's giving us the moisture that we need. And, exactly. You know, it's part of the cycle of life and the seasons. And, you know, for those, you're grateful for that and present in that moment to yes. live that. And I agree because I think you're right. We'll never get rid of fear. And we do need some sort of healthy fear, I think, to help us navigate through life and situations, yeah. But fear that keeps us held stagnant and held still, that interrupts us from being able to move and blossom in life is yeah. where we need to get that help true.
Well, we've had fear and what we call fear mongering. So, you know, spreading fear everywhere has become like a national product in the United States over the last 8 years. And you can go to any newspaper and see fear in the headlines. And people just think, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I just want to say, absolutely, there is something that you can do about it because it's so inefficient. You know, fear is, it's draining all of our resources, not just our own personal resources, but we make stupid decisions when we're in fear. And things become stagnant and really cannot move forward. And so having the courage to step into the unknown and to make new choices, I find is really a step by step. And we can support each other by, you know, like if you're scared and I'm breathing and presencing and doing my, like, no, because you can actually do fear melters. You can do mini melters so that you're not obvious and, you know, look weird. But if I'm present, then that is as contagious as fear. So I can spread presence. I can spread connection. And by doing that, I notice, you know, that when I'm moving around in the world, that's one of the main things that I do is I connect with people. I recognize, like, here you are, I see you, here we are together. And I know they get it because I can see them, their faces open up. There's, and it's not a very long interaction. I, you know, I may never see them again, or, but I know that what I'm doing is assisting us in recognizing that we have a shared humanity.
I think the problem today too is people don't listen. They ask you oftentimes something, you can ask a person something, but they don't listen to the answer. They really don't want to know it. They yeah. already know they need to know everything they want to know. So they yeah. shut you off right away. That's on a fear base too, I think, where they don't yes. want to hear something that's going to change, might change how they are.
Yes.
And I see so much of that today. Where people don't spend that 2 seconds even sometimes you know, like opening a door for somebody and then generating a smile. That's yes. like having a conversation as such, right?
Yes.
But there's so many people that are afraid to even generate a smile to you or say a thank you,
yeah.
you know, so people yeah. aren't listening. And the more yeah. we don't listen, yeah, we're just building more fear base and that kind of thing into this world. And people need to start going, I have the time for you. I do have at mm-hmm. least 2 minutes to listen.
Exactly,
to you.
Exactly. 2 minutes, or it's not even that long.
Right.
It's really like 30 seconds, you know, of just that dropping into here we are. Here we are together. And I am so with you on the listening. In fact, I'm teaching a course right now. We teach coaches how to do relationship work, but also body-centered, body intelligence work. And I've been emphasizing how absolutely critical I experience listening. And that if I'm with someone, my biggest job is first to really listen, to making sure that I'm hearing you accurately. I may not agree with you, but I want to make sure I'm hearing you so that what I heard you say was, oh, that wasn't it, it was this. Oh, okay, thank you. So, and I'm listening for their emotions.
Yes.
And like, oh, it sounded like that. There was a lot of feeling for you in that experience. And I cannot, you know, trying to tell them what they're feeling, but I'm reflecting that I hear feeling. But the thing I most like to listen for is what people really want.
That's true.
And I don't think people listen to that enough. And for me, that comes out of having liberated a lot of my fear so I can get curious about what's, you know, under something that's like, what do people really want? And often I mean, you really want to have your point of view acknowledged.
But there's so many people today don't acknowledge other people, I find. And that's getting really bad. We still got such a narcissistic world that's happening around us that, you know, like we have to give people more of that embracement, because when they start talking to you, you can actually feel some of their emotions.
Absolutely.
And you can see in their eyes if there's any kind of, you know, you can sort of walk into their world a little bit. And so, and sometimes when you do that, I find people give the, you can almost see their shoulders go.
Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah, and they take, what I find is someone takes a big breath or they get more color in their face, because people get so pale because there's, the energy is being drained out of them, especially in the faint. So just having the presence of someone who says, I'm here. I don't have any other agenda. I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, rather than I'm here because I want to convince you that, you know, I want to get up in your face and tell you that you're wrong and you got to do it my way. Or I'm just not going to pay any attention to you because you're
Why
not
would I?
With me.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the what I consider that is contempt.
Yes.
And contempt is the conviction that somebody else is less than you. And if we put hate is fear plus contempt. And we see so much, you know, just this blanket obliteration of other people, you know, either metaphorically or actually. Whereas what the issue is that we're not connecting on our human level, that we all are human. We all have exactly the same ancestors. We all have, you know, we all come from the same place. We all, and instead of appreciating the enormous variety of humans that have developed out of, you know, the same, you know, like the same species, you know, that we really are all connected, just a moment of that, I think, can change things for people in a really profound way.
I agree. And I think it's an information highway that we're living on anyways now. So why tune into the negative stuff to listen to on that highway? Just listen to the things that make you happy. You know,
well, because of the adrenaline, Barb, that people have gotten addicted to adrenaline.
Oh, they have.
Going faster. You know, going like, why do we need to go faster? There's this whole thing of, you know, the boom, 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 you know, faster internet, faster, you know, get your food faster, get your, you know, and make the food fast food, which is actually not food at all.
Yeah.
Whereas the nourishment of receiving and collaborating, there's no substitute for that. And I like to use the image of being together with either my fear or another person on a porch swing that has a rhythm that I just really love. And we can just be together. We don't have to do anything. That connection, I think, is what people are really, really longing for. And they may be going at it like, you know, I'm going to get it from, if they try to get it from adrenaline, they'll keep themselves on that adrenaline cycle. So partly the fear melters are to interrupt that cycle so that people can go, oh, gosh, the world is not as scary a place as I thought it was.
I think, too, I agree with you. And I think at some levels, because we try to speed things up so much, even from the time we have a child, we're constantly trying to speed them up.
Yes.
Where we should actually be letting them to generate their own stuff as they're moving on, sort of thing. So if we did that, then would there be a little bit less of ADHD and things like that in this world, because we're not forcing them into be like us, or you know, have, we have the expectations of something that we think these children should have, and not allowing them to generate their own momentum in life, right?
I love that, generating their own momentum, which is really letting them invent themselves rather than imposing, you have to be like this, you have to do this. And because we have fewer and fewer like ways for people to express themselves. So everybody has to be on social media, and you have to be an influencer, or you have to be all of these, you know, or you have to get a certain number of likes, all of these things that have been invented in just that, you know, in the last 20 years or so, which don't have anything to do with everybody's uniqueness. I like to think of each of us as instruments in a large orchestra.
Beautiful.
And as each of us plays our instrument fully, we get to contribute to the melody of the whole. And it's not like I'm playing, hey, I want to be the bass drum. You get to be the bass. No, I'm playing my instrument.
Yeah.
And then we get to really create music together, because after all, we are just sound. We are sound. Encased in flesh, and as we change our literally change our vibrations, we change everything.
Absolutely. True. Yeah. And I think today, like in line with that is like you said, we're going so fast and we fill everything with all this noise from, you know, being on social media and being that and not listening to people because we're so into our own thoughts that I do think that creates that's just our way of showing our fear, right? Like for myself, I don't watch the news because I find the news just, not that I don't want to be informed, but I am still informed because other people inform me. But then I don't have that fear behind it, though, that's taking up that space for me.
You're where not being pickled in fear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I found that as I've befriended fear, it's not as if, I mean, actually have gotten more effective. So when there is something to respond to out in the world, some kind of threat, I'm much more skillful at responding to it. So even like, I've noticed that when I'm driving, because I drive in Southern California, which is one of the scariest places to drive in the world, with our freeways with 12 lanes going and people coming on and off and because I am present and breathing, I've avoided 5 or 6 accidents because I can see and respond more quickly than if I'm in my trance and then I'm just at the effect of whatever is going on. So it actually makes us more effective, not weaker, but more resourceful and able to respond to life.
I agree with that. And one thing my mom's always said is like smiling, right? She's always been a smiler and smile at people. And you know, when the masks came in about and everybody, right, you couldn't see anybody's face, but you knew if somebody was smiling at you by looking at their eyes.
That's right, because they crinkle.
And that's right. And you had that still connection. And it was like, that's, I think, at a whole, what we're looking for in this human body of ours is that connectedness with our fellow humans.
Yes. Our connectedness, our shared, you know, like we're here together. We are here on this very small planet, you know, that, you know, we think, you know, well, we'll just like one of my favorite quotes is from Julia Butterfly Hill, who was the woman who climbed up to the top of an old growth oak and was in it, lived in it so it wouldn't get cut down for a year and a half. And so she protected the tree. And the question that she asks is, where is a way? Where is a way? So when we people will say, oh, I'm going to go throw this away. And she says, well, where is that? Where is a way? You throw something away, where it ends up is in some trash heap in the middle of the Atlantic or the garbage patch that's, you know, now I think is the size of Texas. So the whole sense of nothing goes away, but it can be transformed. So our fear can be transformed. The other thing I think is so valuable for us to know, because most people, because of these guys, because of our most people think that they live from here up.
Yeah, true.
It's me and my phone. And so people are not moving, they're not breathing, but what they don't realize is that signals from your body, from your sensations, get to your brain 4 to 10 times faster than your thoughts. Your feelings get there first. And so as you're letting yourself participate with your whole body intelligence, you get smarter, you give your brain more to work with. Your brain can only work with what's being delivered to it. So if you're telling yourself the same old story of people are no good, people are scary, people are blah, 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 when you tell yourself there's your brain believes that and then makes decisions that are based on that. But as you're practicing presence and connection, then you get much, much more choice and more of a chance for all of us to express ourselves in life and to contribute. Because right now, there are not very many ways for people to contribute to others. Like to, you know, almost everybody says, I want to make a difference. But, you know, how can they do that when everything is all speeded up and you only have, like, you can do this or you can do that, or you can just forget it. I think it goes together with people developing what we call, what my husband Gay and I'll call, developing your own genius. What is it that you love to do and that makes time disappear, but that also makes a contribution to others? And since I was a little girl, I've always loved to move. And but I thought, well, how can you make a living, you know, moving? Well, I have learned how to make it. You know, I've been a registered dance movement therapist for over 50 years. And part of what I do is teach people to open up to the language of their own movement, which is like the best book that you've ever read, the best movie that you've ever seen, discovering who you are and then expressing that in the world. Wouldn't that be so much more fun than just trying to be like everybody else and, you know, dress like everybody else?
And wouldn't it too, for people, like we are always, like so many people are weight conscious and things like that. If they concentrate on their own movement and how pleasing it is, like, your own movement, like I love movement and I love dancing and I love exercising, but I find it gives you such a joy.
Yes.
And it's sexual, it's calming.
Sensual, discovering, yeah.
Everything comes into play when you allow it to, right?
Yep.
And it helps your mind just sort of go into that other space and enjoy life.
And the, you know, yeah, and so that's the point. So yeah, the point is to be alive and to enjoy being alive. Whereas adrenaline is, you got to get somewhere. You always got to get someplace else, someplace better, someplace more, like more money, more everything, rather than the joy of actually being alive.
I love that. That's brilliant. I love that because I think the more we move and pay attention, and I think with the movement of our body, like you have both expressed, is you have that joy and you have that presence and you actually are really just letting your mind be free to see what you actually can bring into your life and create these new things for you and live more consciously. And I think the more consciously we live and are freer with our minds, the more we pass that on to those around us. And
I totally agree.
Create a safer world.
I create a safer and a world, a safer and a more creative world where we are literally generating new possibilities, because right now, almost everything is pretty bankrupt. What we've been drawing on to, you know, to give life meaning for people. When I was born, there were 3 billion people on the planet. There are now 9 billion. So we've got, you know, people think, well, I'm not really important. You know, I'm just one of, you know, all of these different people. But when you're present to yourself and you get curious about what wants to happen here, life becomes just an unending discovery that you can share with others, and you can create actual real solutions to problems. But not just that, because that's not all I want to do in life, is just solve problems. I want to see, now, what can I do today that's going to generate more beauty in the world? What can I do that is going to support people in living into their own purpose? And those, I think, are much more interesting questions.
They are.
I agree. And I mean, I think that's a part of why we created this podcast was, we wanted to get out to people that there is all these different ways. And when you're sort of trapped in this bubble and you're not sure where to go, here's all these different avenues by, like, we all have brilliant minds and we just need to free those minds because, you know, there's a million writers in the world and everybody has a different take on the same subject. So why not share that with each other and embrace that?
Yes, yes, I love that. So liberating, it's really liberating your creativity. Mm-hmm. Rather than doing the same old cycle over and over again, you know, this, which we all know is crazy, but we keep doing it. And so the main thing that I see is that by using your breath and movement and you know, fear melters and embodied exploration, that you keep expanding both your joy in life, but also the ripple impact from your presence. Just your being makes a difference for people.
You bet.
That's wonderful. And I'm glad that you have that on your website. So people will definitely have to check that out. And it's been so much fun talking to you. You have so much, such great energy and so much wonderful information to share with people. Can you tell people where to find you?
Yes, there are actually three places you can find us at least. So the we have two websites. The one I've been talking about a lot is foundationforconsciousliving.org. It's our nonprofit. We have literally dozens of videos, suggestions, so people can learn how to breathe. They can learn how to shift from fear to presence. They can learn how to collaborate with others on that website. And then on Hendrix.com, we have a lot of relationship material and also our seminars. So if people are interested in learning how to be a coach or, you know, learning about the products that we've developed over the years, we also have on Facebook, we have a Facebook page that's called Hearts in Harmony, and we have regular relationship tips that come out every day that will help you in enhancing your relationships. Because we've been we went from 6 couples in our living room to 10 million people on Oprah when we published Conscious Loving. And Conscious Loving, I would suggest to anybody who wants to have a more enhanced relationship, it's been continuously in print since 1990.
And congratulations.
It's considered a classic, but it has just very practical, it's considered practical magic. So we like magic and we like practical, like, okay, what can I do here? So we combine both of those. So it's not just, oh, I hope you all get better, but here's something that you can do that's going to make a difference. So those were some of the places where people can find us.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you for bridging the Canada-US bridging here. And, you know, I love that we're living on the same continent.
Yes, absolutely. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And we appreciate all your information. We'd love to have you back sometime. So
I'd be delighted. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kim and Barb. And thank you for modeling how mothers and daughters can be together, too.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Take care. Okay. Goodbye.
You too. Bye.